I want to thank the worship team. I love your presence. We can all thank the Lord because he told us when two or more are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. And we thank the Lord for being here this morning in Wesley Church. Thank you for your presence. How often do we thank God? And when we do thank God, do we really mean it? Unthankfulness is one of my greatest sins. I know better, but yet I still don't do it. I struggle with this sin like some of you. Oh, yes, I can give thanks when things are going my way. But let me get caught in traffic. Or let my flight get delayed. And then you'll see and hear the real me. And I'm looking back there now, my wife, Sharan, and I can say, please, don't add to that. Let me add to you a few examples of ungratefulness. In a region of Mexico, hot springs and cold springs are side by side. And because of this convenience of this natural phenomena, the women often bring their laundry to this place to clean their clothes. They clean their clothes in the hot springs and rinse their clothes in the cold springs. And a tourist was watching this procedure, and he once commented to his Mexican guide. And he said, they think that God is generous to provide so much free hot and cold water, don't they? And the guide replied, he said, no, senor. They grumble a lot because he does not provide the soap. Isn't that just like us? I also heard a story about a mother who took her son shopping with her, and she went to the farmer's market. And when she went to the market, she walked over to a particular stand, and a lady from a fruit stand walked over to her son and handed her son an orange. And the mother looked down at him like all of our mothers did, and she said, now, what do you say? And the little boy looked at the orange, held it back up at the lady, and said, peel it. And the last example I want to give you this morning is a woman was visiting a farm, and she noticed the pig was limping in the backyard, and that pig had a wooden leg. And she asked the farmer, what happened to the pig? And the farmer replied, oh, Betsy. Betsy is a wonderful pig. He said, one night the house caught fire and Betsy oinked so loud she woke all of us up, and we called the fire department and they were able to get here in time to save us and our house. And the woman said, that's really something. And the farmer continued and he said, that's not all. One day my youngest fell in a pond and Betsy oinked so loud she got our attention and we were able to pull our daughter out the pond just in time. And the woman said, now that's really amazing, but I still don't understand why the pig has a wooden leg. And the farmer said, well, when you have a pig this special, you don't want to eat him all at once. Now, what kind of gratitude is that, right? I think with that, we should pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've told us in your word to give thanks in all things, and try as we may, Heavenly Father, it is difficult for us to do that on all occasions. For we are tempted, Father, not to be gracious, and we ask you, Heavenly Father, to give us a heart of gratitude so that we can in all things give you thanks. Heavenly Father, we're asking you now to open our ears and our hearts to this message that we, in all occasions, good and bad, Father, we will realize that you are the master and you are indeed entitled to praise. You deserve that. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen? Amen. You see, I wanted to get some of the humorous things out of the way so that I could talk to you candidly about something that troubles not only myself, but what I can see the Christian world, and that is ungratefulness. We live in a nation where we are truly blessed, yet at times we come off as being unthankful. We have forgotten what God has done for us and what he is doing for us. We are not on our knees enough giving thanks. We spend more time complaining about what we don't have than thanking God for the many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Unfortunately, ingratitude has become a way of life for most people. But if you ask people if they're ungrateful, they will probably respond to you, no. This is because this attitude is so pervasive and ingrained in our lives that we can't openly admit that we are not thankful enough. The reality is this, that if you want to find gratitude, you had better look for it in the dictionary because it is not in the lives of us Christians. Every day of our lives, we are the recipients of God's blessings. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." God is constantly bestowing benefits upon us. Each of us have experienced God's full measure of mercy and grace. And for that, we should continuously give thanks. So I thought this Thanksgiving weekend would be the perfect time to give a message on ungratefulness. Thanksgiving Day was established for us to give thanks to God for the abounding blessings he has bestowed upon us and on our nation. But too many Americans have forgotten this. You see, this is a holiday for us here in America to give thanks to God. Have you? At times, I know I have not given God thanks. 2 weeks ago, I overheard one of my court clerks talking to another clerk about the fact that her husband had been laid off from work for several months, and she didn't know what she or the family was going to do. And this immediately brought up a scene that I remember watching in Godfather, where the actor who wanted the upcoming part in the movie appeared to the Godfather, and he started crying. He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And you all remember that scene. The Godfather, Vito Corleone, slapped him and shook him and said, "You can be a man." Well, I didn't slap her. But I did interject myself into the conversation because I thought it was important. I told her, "You can trust God. That's what you can do. Trust God. He is there through thick and thin." I asked her, had she prayed or spoken to God about her plight? And she kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, "Not really. Not really." I tried to convince her that the solution to her problem was only a few feet away, namely the distance it takes one to kneel and to pray to our Lord. I am still amazed that in this day and time, we have people who don't know how much they need God, and to God is all they got. And I told her, God is there. God is ready. I must confess that it's easier to preach a message on being thankful than it is to live a thankful life. I find it so frustrating that I don't thank God as much as I could or I should. And I thank him a lot. It hurts me to think that when Jesus called the disciples, that they left their fishing nets, their families, and their livelihoods to follow Jesus. And today, God can't get us to drop our remotes in enough time for us to read his word, let alone give him the thanks. Besides being a sin, you must know that if you manifest this heart of ungratefulness, that you just might miss out on something God has great in store for you in your life. One of the examples I would like to share with you is that of the Israelites. For 300 years, they were held captive in Egypt. One day their prayers were answered and they were released from their captivity and on their way to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land so rich that it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes from this land, a land that could meet all of their future needs. Well, the Israelites started off being thankful, but how quickly they became ungrateful. They first complained they didn't have water, and then the water that they had, that it was bitter, and then that they didn't have enough food to eat. So God sent them manna and quail to stop their whining, but that didn't work either. Instead of rejoicing in all the good things God had done for them, all the miracles that they had seen, the pillar of fire, the pillar of clouds, they murmured, they complained, and they asked to be sent back to Egypt. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, we read, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they had came out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron." The whole community complained. They complained loud. They complained. They said, "If only we had died by the Lord's hands in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." What a thankful group, or should I say thankless group. After only 2 months of being set free from bondage, and again, miracle after miracle, they started complaining. And as a result of their unthankfulness, God forced them to spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness until they perished and missed out on the promised land. 40 years of missed blessings because of an ungrateful heart and an attitude. And consequently, only their children and Caleb and Joshua was able to enter the promised land. All the others missed out because of this ingratitude. So you see, you can miss out on the blessings of God if you don't have a thankful heart. Now, I don't want to start judging the Israelites, because we too are guilty of being ungrateful at times. As soon as things don't go our way, we start complaining. Why didn't I get accepted into that college? Why didn't I get the pay raise that I wanted? Why do I have to go through this when so many other people have it so easy, and etc.? The message is simple. If you have an attitude of ungratefulness, you too could be wandering around in the wilderness, missing out on God's abundant blessings. I want to also tell you a story about not only those who were ungrateful and missed out, but about others who have not been thankful. There's a story about 10 men who were afflicted with a horrible, filthy, and tormenting disease known as leprosy. These men were in a wretched condition for which there was no cure, in which ultimately they would die miserably. They were outcast from the community, completely divorced from their families and friends. They were forced into homelessness, begging for money just to eat. They had no money. No one would come near them. And they had to beg for money just to eat. If one was cured of this horrible disease, shouldn't he give thanks? Well, I want to read you a scripture that should teach us an important lesson about unthankfulness. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, and we read, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Imagine that. As they turned around and left him, they were cleansed of this horrible disease. And one of them, as he was walking, the scriptures tells us, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Can you imagine being instantly cured after speaking with our Lord? What would you do with such a blessing? Would you spend the rest of your life on your knees thanking God? I know and hope that I would. We learn from this passage that out of the 10 lepers who were healed, only one returned to say thanks. And the 9 that were healed failed to return. And that should clearly exhibit to us an attitude of ungratefulness. But when I read to you what Jesus said, can you hear the disappointment in the voice of Jesus as he asked, "But where are the 9? Why did God ask this question? He asked it because he knew that all 10 of the men who had been healed should have been falling at his feet and giving him thanks instead of just one. For you see, all 10 had experienced God's healing power from this loathsome disease, where sores and ulcers covered you from head to toe and where you smelled of rotten decay. That was their condition before they were cleansed, and yet only one returned to give thanks. 10 of these men got new bodies, but one got a new heart. 1 out of 10 is a horrible statistic, and we must do better. And I'm concerned, and that's why I got the humor out early, of whether or not 1 out of 10 would be the same here today. The more I study the Bible, the more I agonize over how often we take God's provisions for granted and how many times we are more desirous of things than grateful for what we have. Didn't Jesus die on the cross for you? Didn't Jesus forgive you of your sins? And don't you now have the blessed assurance of spending eternity with our Lord and Savior? If that is the case, then you must give him thanks. You must thank him now and thank him on all occasions. I heard a story of a couple whose young son was killed in the war. One day they came to their parish priest and they told him they wanted to give a gift to the church as a memory of their son who had died in battle. And the pastor said, "That's a wonderful gesture on your part." And then he asked them if it was okay to tell the congregation about what they wanted to do. And the family said yes. And so the next Sunday, he told the congregation of the gift and memory of the dead son. And on the way home from church that day, another couple, they were talking about this. And the husband said to the wife, "Why don't we give a gift to the church because of our son?" And the wife, looking at him perplexed, said, "But our son didn't die in any battle. Our son is still alive." And the husband replied, "That's exactly my point. That's all the more reason we ought to give thanks to God." Are you able to recognize blessings in disguise as this couple did? We have so much to give thanks to the Lord. So much. I have been saved from my wretched condition because of Jesus. My son and daughter live. There is so much in this world to give thanks. If we count our blessing, if we realize that it is all from above, we would be more like the Samaritan leper and return to the Lord and get on our knees and give thanks. Folks, I know it isn't easy to be thankful at all times. It is easy to be thankful when we receive blessings. But what about when we are facing challenging times? Should we be thankful when we have difficult times, when we lose a loved one to cancer, or when we are laid off from our job? Do we thank God then? And if so, how? Must we be grateful at that moment? Please understand that difficult times will come in all of our lives. If you haven't experienced any yet, just wait. It's only a matter of time before you too will face difficult times. Job, in chapter 14, verse 1, tells us that man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. So it's coming. So we must be prepared. How then do we muster up enough faith to thank God in the moment of trouble? Well, I think the way we can is to learn from others, get our courage from others who have walked this way. I want to tell you again about Job, a servant of God. He lost all of his children, all of his livestock, and he was afflicted with every disease known to man, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And if this wasn't bad enough, we also learned a lot about Job. So let's read Job chapter 1, verse 21. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How can someone who had his children and his health taken away, his wife come to despise him, and his so-called friends blame him from his suffering, be thankful? And I'll tell you, it's by trusting God. Job trusted God, and that enabled him to give thanks. I also want to tell you about two other awe-inspiring people of God, Pastor Dwayne Scott Willis and his wife Janet, who lost six of their children in a fiery crash in Wisconsin when their van rolled over a piece of metal. While in the hospital recovering from their second-degree burns, the world waited to hear this couple curse God. That was what they thought the response should be. However, to the world's amazement, this bereaved couple explained to the world how they could make it through such a horrific tragedy. The pastor and his wife read from Psalms 34, which reads, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And then they summed it all up. "Janet and I want to praise and thank God. There is no question in our minds that God is good, and we praise him in all things. God is a great God." Wow. How is this possible? How can a father and a mother who saw their children killed and who were badly burned themselves lift up their hand to the Lord and thank God? Again, it's the same thing. They trust our Lord. Rachel Scott was the first victim in 1999 Columbine High School massacre. Her parents, Beth and Daryl Scott, had their lives turned completely upside down as a result of losing their daughter. We all remember that event and how it impacted our lives and the lives of all people around the world because of this America's worst shooting. Rachel, they believe, had been targeted because of her Christian faith, and she was shot while she prayed. Is there anything in this situation that we can give thanks? Is it possible for us to give thanks when we lose our beautiful daughter, such as Rachel? Daryl Scott, the father of Rachel, was invited to Congress, and he appeared before the House Judiciary Subcommittee to talk about the school shooting. They were not prepared for what he said. Most thought he was going to come and talk about the proliferation of weapons or about school safety and things such as that. And he said, and I quote, that he had written a poem just four nights before, and here's the poem. Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now gunshots fill our classrooms and precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere and you ask the question why. You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need. God is what we need. There is no doubt that this family was trusting God. Did you hear his poem? Should it? I hope it is. It should begin to resonate in your souls that by trusting God is the only way you will be able to ride out the storm. Trust God. No, it won't be easy to thank God in a moment of pain, torment, sorrow, trial, or tribulation, but we must remember what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, and I read, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." He says, in everything give thanks. Wesley Church, that is in the good and the bad. And so when you go through difficult times and you find yourself unable to give thanks because you don't feel the presence of God, please understand that we should not walk by faith. I mean, by feelings. No, should we walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We trust God. Our satisfaction and joy comes from knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. The only thing that we need is Christ. He is the great I Am. A name that simply means that he is all that we need in this life. If you have never thanked God for allowing Jesus to die in your place, if you've never thanked God for forgiving you of your sins, then I appeal to you now to do that today. Thank him. He is deserving of it. Why? Because while salvation cost us nothing, the cost to God was unimaginable. It cost him his son, and for that, is worthy of our thanks. I don't think there is a more fitting closing prayer than what the psalmist said, and I will close with that. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. I'm going to thank God, and I ask that each and every one of you thank God as well. Today, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you.